Blog Talk Radio.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order
that exposes the new world order to people.
Donald Trump is fighting the elites, these globalists. He's fighting the New World Order, typical of Babylon.
The future does not belong to globalists. The future belongs to patriots.
I think at one time or another, we've all questioned as to whether all that we see and our experience in our world has some sort of a rational plan behind it. Because we understand now that both the Republican and the Democratic Party in our country are basically run by the same people, the same money finances both sides. We now know, of course, through the work of many historians who have spent their life working on research, to show us that both sides of world conflicts have always been financed by the same people. And as I've said before, there seems to be a method to the madness going on in the world. We know, of course, that we cannot depend on our leaders. Our leaders are misleaders. There is a science that they're following. They have their own agenda, and it doesn't include you. What your government pays for, it gets. If you are paid to do something for the government, they will extract from you exactly what they have paid for. When we understand that, then we look at universities and schools, government-financed institutions of education, and see the kind of students and the kind of education that's being turned out by these government-financed schools. Logic will tell you that if what is being turned out in those schools was not in accord with what the state and the federal government wanted, then it would change it. The bottom line is that the government is getting what they have ordered. They're getting what they have paid for. They do not want your children to be educated. They do not want you to think too much. That is why our country and our world has become so proliferated with entertainments, mass media, game shows, television shows, amusement parks, drugs, alcohol, and every kind of entertainment to keep the human mind entertained so that you don't get in the way of important people by doing too much thinking. You had better wake up and understand that there are people who are guiding your life and you don't even know it. And all American citizens, I think, have suspected something like this is going on. But we're all too busy trying to stay alive and live our lives. And after all, what can one person do about it? This is the most powerful government the world has ever known. They have the ability to get a hold on Adolf Hitler. 50 years ago, he had a standing army, the greatest navy, air force, military, secret underworld organizations operating throughout the world. But this government got a hold on Adolf Hitler because it chose to and it wanted to. And if you do not pay your income taxes, they will find you if you go to the Amazon jungle, and they will make an example of you. They will find you. And they will deal with you, and you know it. But for some reason, they're unable to get a handle on drugs and the crime in the streets for some reason.
And welcome to 6 Emperor Tyrannus News. I'm your host, Mark Matheny.
Today is the 9th of December. And we know, or if you haven't known, the IG report has come out. The IG report has come out. Justice Department review into the origins of the FBI's investigation into possible ties between the Trump campaign and the Russian interference in the 2016 election. And according to this report, they have found, they say, many procedural errors, but no overall political bias by the agency. This is what the IG report by Michael Horowitz is saying. Now, Michael Horowitz, of course, is the Inspector General for the Justice Department. And according to him, they also found that the FBI was justified in launching its July 2016 investigation into the campaign known as Crossfire Hurricane. And they've come out with a 434-page report that's based on more than, they say, 1 million documents from the Justice Department and the FBI and interviews with more than 100 witnesses. Now, Attorney Barr, the Attorney General, William Barr, that is, challenged these findings in a statement which he issued immediately after the release of the Horowitz report. And what he stated was, the Inspector General's report now makes clear that the FBI launched an intrusive investigation of a presidential campaign on the thinnest of suspicions that, in my view, were insufficient to justify the steps taken. And we know that John Durham is also leading a separate review of the FBI investigation. And Durham, after Michael Horowitz released the IG report, he also questioned the conclusions of the report by saying, he stated, based on the evidence collected to date, and while our investigation is ongoing, last month, we advised the Inspector General that we do not agree with some of the report's conclusions as to the prediction or to the predication and how the FBI case was opened, he stated. And John Durham noted that his investigation includes information from other entities outside of the Justice Department, both in the United States and outside of the United States. And of course, if you haven't been following or if you don't know, Durham's investigation is a criminal investigation. It is his probe is a criminal investigation. And that gives him the authority then basically to issue subpoenas to witnesses and to document and to subpoena documents as well, as to impanel a grand jury. So the report goes in a nutshell. Basically, the report says that it finds no political bias in FBI decisions to conduct the investigation. In part, the report stated, we did not find any documentary or testimonial evidence that political bias or improper motivation influenced the FBI's decision to conduct these operations. No evidence that the FBI attempted to place any CHSs within the Trump campaign. The report also found that the FBI investigation, also known as Crossfire Hurricane, opened in July 2016, they state was justified and properly predicated. The report goes on to say, we found that Crossfire Hurricane was open for an authorized investigative purpose and with sufficient factual predication. You know, it's funny that they state that they had predication and sufficient facts to open this investigation into Russian collusion with Trump and Russia, but still to this day, they cannot come to any conclusions about Ukrainian interference into the elections. They can't find any connection with Hillary Clinton and the DNC and Russia or Ukraine, but they can find it with Trump. And as I've stated from the beginning, because before Trump went into office, when he started his campaign, I backed him ever since then. Anyone who knows me knows that I backed President Trump, who then was candidate Trump. And I knew he was going to win. I stated he would win. But as soon as he got elected, the coup began as attorney or the lawyer for Eric C. Ramella, CIA Ramella, the whistleblower, who they're saying is the whistleblower. His lawyer, I think, is Mark Zaid. Remember, he tweeted, according to reports, as soon as Trump was elected, he tweeted out, the coup begins. And he stated in other tweets that Trump needed to be removed from office. And so that started back in 2016. This whole impeachment hearing that we see today at this time in these past couple weeks is really the result of the beginnings of their attempt to impeach President Trump from the day of his inauguration and his election. A coup. Whether the Democrats like it or not, it is a coup d'etat. Now, they've released this report, they did state that the FISA warrant and the renewals had significant inaccuracies and omissions. Horowitz's team of investigators says, according to the report, found significant inaccuracies and omissions in each of the four applications, seven in the first FISA applications, and a total of 17 by the final review. Oh, goodness. Let me see something, guys. Oh, man. All right, so I did not lengthen the radio time, ladies and gentlemen, and I do apologize for that. And I know I'm live. The radio show is going to go off the air here momentarily within 1 minute. But I'll continue recording offline. And then I will upload the show immediately after so you can listen to the program afterwards. I do apologize. There are pre-programs that you set, and I was doing testing on the broadcasting before and set it for 15 minutes inadvertently. And so therefore, in about 30 seconds, I am going to go off the air. But I will continue recording the show and then upload the show so you can come back to it. That will be within a couple hours. So I do apologize for that, but this is We're Hit Radio with Mark Matheny, and I do have Six Semper Tyrannus News. You can check out the website And if you go on YouTube, I'm on YouTube as well, MATHENYAHU. So I will continue recording. But the FISA warrant, they state, did have significant inaccuracies and omissions. And as a result of these 17 inaccuracies and omissions, Horowitz wrote that relevant information was not shared with and considered by decision makers at the Justice Department and the National Security Court. So the big question is going to be, is there going to be any criminal investigation into this? The way the report sounds, the way the report makes it sound, it just sounds like they were, you know, just like when Hillary Clinton came out and, you know, when they started investigating her and the emails and the server and so on, instead of saying there was gross negligence, they simply stated, well, there was extreme carelessness. And so that's what they're doing here, is they're softening the blows, calling them significant inaccuracies and omissions. But is it criminal? According to CBS News, they say all of the applications also left out information the FBI obtained from another government agency about its previous relationship with Page. Now, think about this. What were the reasons for the FISA warrants? The FISA warrants were set up to spy on Trump and the campaign. How did they get the FISA warrants? They got the FISA warrants based on the phony dossier from Christopher Steele, Fusion GPS, and more evidence is coming out now too that it was also from the Ukraine, information from the Ukraine, because there have been people arrested in the Ukraine, indicted and sentenced because of interference into the U.S. elections in 2016. But the mainstream media doesn't want to tell you that. But it is documented. So Horowitz concluded that members of the FBI's team investigating ties between Russia and the Trump campaign failed to meet the basic obligation that the Carter Page FISA applications were scrupulously accurate. And additionally, the article says the internal watchdog found, quote, the surveillance of Carter Page continued even as the FBI gathered information that weakened the assessment of probable cause and made the FISA applications less accurate. But they said that they didn't find any intentional or, you know, testimonial evidence or of intentional misconduct. And they also did not receive satisfactory explanations for errors or missing information either. So this whole thing is, this IG report, basically there were several people that I listened to, Alex Jones of InfoWars and others who were saying, don't expect too much from this report. It's written by Michael Horowitz, who is an Obama holdover. Now, Doug Collins, one of the Republican representatives in the hearing, went off at the impeachment hearing, and it's rather long, but I want to play some of it to let you hear, because Doug Collins is basically accused Nadler and Pelosi of breaking impeachment rules, which we know they have. I mean, this thing has been unfair since the beginning because their intentions are not to be fair, people. The Democrats want to undermine the Constitution, the rule of law. They want to undermine procedure because that's what the leftists do. I mean, this is what the left does. It's where you get anarchy from. Mob rule is what democracy is what our founding fathers stated. But here is Doug Collins, Republican representative, going off. Well, first, here he is on Fox News talking about, let me pause that for a second, talking about how Nadler and Nancy Pelosi are not following the rules of impeachment. Here we go.
Congressman Doug Collins, ranking member of the House Judiciary Committee, who was not flying over the country. He was talking and talking and talking today, along with all the other folks that were talking quite a bit. So how did you feel about how it went today overall? Did you feel like the American people learned anything new in there?
No, they learned that staff members can talk to staff members and the members of Congress who should be there testifying, such as Adam Schiff. I had a dereliction of duty and just left it to Mr. Goldman to testify. You made a point earlier, though. You talked about how polls were changing. It was a pretty interesting poll in the room today. The people who came to hear the presentation, by about midday, they started leaving. By the end of the day, there was nobody there. The problem is they don't have a case. They're trying to factually put it together, and they don't have it. But what we have found out is that this is just a partisan impeachment based on disputed facts because they don't like the president. And that's all this is about.
So that's exactly what this is about, people. We know that President Trump, from the beginning, we have talked about that. I've talked about this. President Trump came in under the Republican Party, but is not a Republican in the sense that the Republicans are Republicans, if you get what I mean. And he was not a Democrat. Okay, now in the past, President Trump admitted he was a Democrat, he was a Republican, he was a businessman, so he buddied up to everybody, both sides of the game. But if you go back and listen to some of his interviews, especially with like Nancy, with Oprah Winfrey and so on, he stated that he didn't, you know, 17, 16 years before this election, he stated that he would probably never run for president, but if he was to run for president, he stated that he would do it because he sees that China and other countries are screwing us over, taking advantage, and he feels bad about that. Now, President Trump comes in. But why are the Democrats so hell-bent against going against him? It's because everything that they were accusing President Trump of, they have done. They are the ones colluding with Ukraine, colluding with Russia. They're the ones attempting to overthrow the election. They were the ones, remember when they asked President Trump, will you accept the elections if Hillary wins? And he goes, we'll see. Oh, they made such a big fuss about that. Oh, he's not going to accept the legitimacy of these elections, of these democratic elections of our fine country and so on. And then when he wins, who are the ones contesting the elections? It's the Democratic Party. It's the DNC. It's those people. Not President Trump. But the reason they are so hell-bent is because they are in fear. Now, here is what President Trump today had to say about the IG report after it came out. Initially, he came out and said it was devastating and some other things, that there was a lot to it and so on. But I think as reality sat in, he then came out and basically, you know, was starting to see the light, hopefully. But here he is on Fox News discussing the probe and the findings. He says it basically adds up to an overthrow of government.
Thank you very much. The IG report just came out.
and I was just briefed on it, and it's a disgrace what's happened with respect to the things that were done to our country. It should never again happen to another president. It is incredible, far worse than I would have ever thought possible. And it's an embarrassment to our country. It's dishonest. It's everything that a lot of people thought it would be, except far worse. So I'm going to get some very detailed briefings. But they are. It's a very sad day when I see that. Very sad day when a lot of people see that. They have known nothing. It was concocted. And you say what you want. That was a probably something that's never happened in the history of our country. Pam Bondi, I think you were able to look at some of the report and can address a little bit of it very well. If you might say a few words, I'd like to ask Kellyanne. I know you looked at it also. Please.
Sure, President. You know, so many of us who are career law enforcement today are outraged. And I think the American people really should be terrified that this could happen to you when we're supposed to live in a society of integrity and honesty. And this happened to the president, not just to the president. You know, this should be a good day, but it's not. It's a horrible day for the country. That this could happen to the president of the United States, that they could fabricate, falsify emails, lie, and omit exculpatory evidence in order to continue this witch hunt against the president of the United States. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. Now we have the Durham investigation.
Kellyanne, please.
Thank you. I was the campaign manager during that time, and I would ask a simple question. Why no defensive briefing? Why not contact the Trump campaign? Why not contact candidate Trump or Governor Pence or Governor Christie, who at the time was arranging for the intelligence briefings for candidate Trump and was a public servant, a government official at that time as governor of New Jersey, with a full intelligence security clearance to receive that type of information? So you can't blame people for feeling that it was unfair and that the fix was in. And to think that perhaps people lied and spied and tried to subvert democracy just because they wanted someone else to win or just because they have a different political point of view, that is not the way the world's greatest democracy has been formed and can survive at a time such as this. I will just repeat something that Attorney General Barr said today, Mr. President, that this was an intrusive investigation of a U.S. presidential campaign on the thinnest of suspicion. And that is chilling language for any of us who want our government to work for us and not against us. I only wish they had come and informed us, Mr. President, and we could have had the knowledge and the wherewithal to act at that time and not put the taxpayers through two plus protracted years of nonsense. Thank you, sir.
Well, the problem with that is Kellyanne is saying that she wishes that the FBI and the DOJ and all them had come to them and stated, hey, we feel like there's Russian interference. Well, they weren't going to do that because it was the Obama administration and them who were doing the interference. And in a show that I did online, it's on YouTube, I show where Telashenko, who was an ambassador or at least a delegate in the Ukraine, comes and he basically is a whistleblower, but an open whistleblower, not afraid to show his face, basically stating that they had a meeting with the Obama administration. And it was him and Alexandra Chalupa. And basically, they were told to spy on the Trump campaign. This is what he states. But again, CNN News, MSLSD, the Communist News Network, all of these, the Washington Compost and all the New York Slimes and all of them are not going to report on this stuff. They're only going to report that Trump somehow colluded with the Russians and sought to overthrow the campaign, and now he's trying to do it again by calling Ukraine. But if we look at the same standard that Joe Biden did, basically, you know, Joe Biden and his son, Hunter Biden. If you look at the fact that Joe Biden called the Ukraine, threatened the Ukraine to withhold money unless they fired an investigator, a prosecutor, which is, that was quid pro quo. It was basically extortion almost, you would think, or a form of it, some type of coercion. But that's nothing. They won't even look at that. And this whole impeachment hearing, everything that they brought against President Trump with the special investigators, the Russian collusion investigation and all of that, hasn't that hampered the elections? Isn't that messing with the elections? They're saying that we can't investigate Joe Biden because he's running for president. Well, so is President Trump, but they don't give a damn about that. I mean, it's really time that the American people wake up to and understand what is happening here. You have a man in office who's willing to sacrifice, who's given up his pay ever since he's been in office. He's given up hundreds of thousands, $400,000 a year or more, and he's been in there 3 years, over $1 million. He's lost business from his personal businesses. He's been maligned, attacked. Just they have slandered him, all of these things. And he was a billionaire. I'm surprised he hasn't just walked out. I hope he doesn't. He's a fighter. He's a warrior. He is sent by Hashem, sent by the Almighty. And we need to stand for him and stand with him. The American people need to be sick of this. I want to show you I can't show you. We're on radio. I forgot. But I'm going to play this soundbite from the hearings when Nadler was opening up the start of the hearings. Owen Schroyer of Infowars.com is one of the reporters, kind of invaded, got up and disturbed the hearings, and I'm going to play it. And it, some of it might be hard to hear, but hopefully you'll be able to hear what he says. And here we go. You'll hear Nadler in the beginning, Chairman Nadler, opening up the hearings, and then you're going to hear Owen Schroyer get up and start yelling and basically calling this a phony impeachment and so on. But it was great. Here we go.
The Republicans, of course, rebutting.
The House
Democrats.
Committee on the Judiciary will come to order. Without objection, the chair is authorized to declare recesses of the committee. To
object.
Objection noted. Quorum is present. We are conducting this hearing on the impeachment inquiry into President Donald J. Trump. Presentations from the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence and the House Judiciary Committee pursuant to House Resolution 660 and the Special Judiciary Committee procedures that are described in Section 4A of that resolution. Here is how the committee will proceed for this hearing. I will make an opening statement, and then I will recognize the ranking member for an opening statement. After that, we will hear two sets of presentations. We will hear 30-minute opening arguments from counsels for the majority and the minority.
Okay, now here is where Owen Schroyer, reporter for Infowars.com, starts yelling. So just listen. The first few words are kind of inaudible. It's kind of hard to understand what he's saying, but then he'll get louder and you'll be able to hear what he's saying. He said, "You're the one, Nadler, you're the one committing treason. America's done with it."
Order in the room. Order in the room. Order in the committee room.
America's a citizen and a citizen. We're a citizen and a citizen. We don't believe in the
So he yells that, you know, American people are sick of this stuff, and basically that President Trump did not commit these crimes. We know who committed the crimes, he stated. We know that the DNC, Hillary Clinton, in cooperation with Obama, George Soros even, because he was involved in setting up, him and the Obama administration, setting up the anti-corruption center in Ukraine, from which the head of that anti-corruption center was indicted for interfering in U.S. elections in 2016, even though the Democrats don't want to say so. They want to play games with the American people because most people do not listen, do not pay attention. That's why I played Jordan Maxwell in the beginning of the show when he said most people are just so concerned with entertainment. And he stated that these people do not want you to think for yourselves. They do not want you to understand what's going on. And this big impeachment is a sideshow. Now, in a report from the New American, let me see if I hold on before I go there. Okay, so then after Owen Schroyer leaves out of there, after they take him out, they escort him out, police, he got arrested and booked and everything. Nadler hits his gavel and he smiles and snickers and laughs, and half the people in Congress are laughing, probably all the Democrats.
Committee will come to order. Obviously, I shouldn't have to remind everyone present.
And then he goes on and reminds people about the order of the hearings and all this nonsense. Yeah. So, but that's where it's at. Now, in the New American, there is a report that the House Judiciary Committee report basically accuses Trump of treason. The report of the House Judiciary Committee concerning the possible impeachment of Donald Trump is taking Democrats' accusations against him to a new level, suggesting that he has committed treason and is a threat to national security of the United States. Now, if you'll notice, if you go back and watch any news bites from Hillary, or not from Hillary, but from Nancy Pelosi or Adam Schiff or even Nadler, they all basically state that he betrayed the American people's trust and he undermined the Constitution. He did this, he did that, everything but anything specific. It's always very vague. So the House Judiciary Committee chairman, who is Nadler, the little fat roly-poly guy, he was quite explicit, he states. He stated in the hearing, the framers of the Constitution, worst nightmare is that we are facing what we are facing at this very moment. So he says the framers' worst nightmare is what we are facing at this very moment. President Trump abused his power, betrayed our national security, corrupted our elections, all for personal gain. The Constitution details only one remedy for this misconduct, impeachment. Okay? So again, what are the charges? Betraying national security. How? Corrupted the elections. How? Abused his power. How? How did he do these things? And so Nadler says that this is the reason for impeachment. But the framers of the Constitution were very clear, very explicit as to what really constitutes treason. And it is the only crime that's exactly defined in the Constitution. If you go to Article 3, Section 3, the Constitution states clearly, quote, "Treason against the United States shall consist only in levying war against them, or in adhering to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort. End of quote. So think about it. What has Trump done in regards to the definition of treason? Because the framers, when they were putting the Constitution together and debating and so on, they disagreed in a lot of ways. There were a lot of things that they disagreed about. But one thing that they agreed about, they agreed that a charge of treason should not be just taken lightly, just thrown for political reasons. They have weaponized it. The Democrats have weaponized this, and they're using it against President Trump to try to get him out of office because they cannot accept him as a duly elected president by, of, and for the people. But the framers knew their history. They knew that political disagreements had often been settled with the executioner's axe and trumped up charges of treason. This is the whole reason they wrote the Constitution, people. They knew King Henry, for example, the eighth, on and every day for him, and every day for him, remember him? He often used treason to silence his critics, even having his second wife, Anne Boleyn, executed on a treason charge connected with a flimsy accusation of adultery. Not long after the framers adopted the Constitution in 1787, the nation of France was to experience the horror of the Reign of Terror, in which the guillotine was routinely used to silence political opponents with what? The charge of treason, leveled for disagreeing with the radical leftists who had seized control of the country. Does that sound familiar? Isn't that what's going on today? The left is attacking the right, attacking conservatives, attacking the Tea Party, when the Tea Party was robust and active, and calling them Nazis. And if you wear a MAGA hat, you're a Nazi and a fascist. And yet they use the tactics of fascism, Fabian socialism, Nazism. They're really the ones perpetuating those characteristics, and yet they then project it upon their enemies through Saul Alinsky tactics, basically. This is what they're using. But in the last century, socialist dictators such as Adolf Hitler and Stalin routinely considered disagreement with them as grounds for treason. William Weld, who is a former governor of Massachusetts, even recently suggested the death penalty for Trump. I don't know if you've ever caught that. He says, "It's treason pure and simple. The penalty for treason under the U.S. Code is death. That's the only penalty." This man had the nerve to say this about the president of the United States, Donald J. Trump, who has made and is making America great again, who has done marvelous, magical things with the economy. Remember when Obama said that he would need a magic wand? Well, Trump said, "Abracadabra, bitch." And he has affected the economy. Now, one could argue that in the first 6 months or so, they could, you know, everybody, "Oh, well, it was Obama. It was his policies." Obama didn't even believe that he could make the economy better. He stated that jobs weren't going to come back. He stated the economy was going to be the way it was. It was going to be bad. He basically stated, and then that's why he said, "What is, you know, this man going to do?" He didn't want to say Trump's name. Does he have a magic wand? Well, apparently he does. And it's not a magic wand. It is the spirit of the Almighty upon Trump. Whether you look at Trump as a good guy or not, Hashem works through many people in various ways, very mysterious ways, as they say. But Hashem has anointed Trump for this reason, and this is why it's so important for us to understand that. But the Libertarian Party nominated Weld for vice president in 2016. So this guy calls for Trump to be put to death, basically, under the code of treason. And the Libertarian Party votes for him as vice president. But this guy's also an ardent gun control advocate. And amazingly, while he doesn't sound very libertarian, the presidential candidate that year for so-called libertarians was the former governor of New Mexico, Gary Johnson, who called the religious liberty a dark hole. So these men do not have your best wishes at hand. And Trump hasn't made war on the United States the last time I checked, which is one reason for treason. This is the reason for treason? Is this the season for treason? But he hasn't declared war on the United States, so they've got to be using the second part of that treason definition, obviously, adhering to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort. But how has Trump given aid and comfort to his enemies? Well, that's the whole thing. The Democrats have tried to make it out that Russia is not an enemy of Trump. They wanted to say that he's colluding with Russia, that they are buddy buddies, that him and Putin are, as Pelosi said, all roads lead to Putin. I thought it was all roads lead to Rome. We can look at the Vatican, and that'll be another subject, but all roads lead to Rome, not to Putin. But the Democrats and no Republicans have really had any interest in impeaching Trump so far. So this whole impeachment is very partisan, and that's not the intent of the impeachment process. It's supposed to be bipartisan. But the Democrats, in order to make their case, have added to the framers' definition of treason, apparently, saying that Trump committed betrayal of the nation through schemes with foreign powers. I mean, schemes with foreign powers. Okay, so that's not treason. Because if you go back and look at treason, adhering to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort, is different. And so they go to this phone call that Trump made with this Ukrainian president, Volodymyr Zelensky, and, you know, in which Trump had basically asked him to check out the firing of the Ukrainian prosecutor who was investigating a natural gas company called Burisma, right? And who sat on the board of Burisma? Hunter Biden, who was the son of, at that time, the vice president, Joe Biden. And so, interestingly as it is, the Democrats and all their allies in the media really don't have any interest at this time in Joe Biden's pressuring of the Ukraine. And they say that it's a conspiracy theory, basically, even though we see the video of Joe Biden, and guess where he's at? The Council on Foreign Relations, a think tank group for globalization, a think tank group set up Council on Foreign Relations by the Rockefellers, who were big globalists. David Rockefeller, remember, he said, he wrote a book called The Memoirs. Many have accused me of being a globalist and the family is a cabal and we seek world government. And he said, if that's the case, then I'm guilty and I'm proud of it. They want a world government. This is what he's pushed for. But that Joe Biden, natural gas company, but they don't have any interest in investigating Joe Biden, who fired or who got the prosecutor fired, who happened to be investigating a company that his son was an officer of, who was a board member. And you go back and you look, they had this, you know, this charge initially that came out about Trump and Russian collusion to try to get into office in 2016. And that was the basis of their accusations initially. He is a Russian agent. Alex Jones is a Russian agent. Roger Stone is a Russian agent. Anyone who disagrees with us is a Russian agent. This is what they were saying. And so they came out with a Mueller report. We waited 2 years, and it found no evidence of any collusion after 2 full years of investigation. But the Democrat Party still asserts that there was collusion. They're the ones who did the investigation and found out there was no collusion. Rosenstein and Mueller, remember when he was in the hearings? And where am I? He looked like an old man coming back to return soup from the deli or something. Just, he was pathetic. He didn't write that report. I don't even think he knew where he was at in the hearings. But he didn't write that report. Somebody wrote it, but he didn't. So the accusation about this Russian collusion presumes certain things. One of them is that Russia is an enemy of the United States under the constitutional definition of enemy. But we haven't declared war on Russia. So that really kind of nullifies that. We're not at war with Russia. They're not our enemies per se. The Cold War is over. And we know that President Trump, when he was inaugurated and during the campaign, said it would be nice to get along with Russia. Oh, my God. That's anathema. The Holy Pope wouldn't like that. So, under that specious reasoning, did previous U.S. presidents, going back to Franklin Delano Roosevelt, also commit treason for dealing with the dictators back then, like Stalin and Khrushchev and Gorbachev? No. The president of the United States has the right to convene with foreign powers and to talk to them and negotiate with them and ask them questions and ask for favors, as long as it's not personal favors for himself. Asking to investigate corruption is not a favor unto himself. If you're a criminal, if you've done criminal things, you can't jump into the presidency to avoid prosecution. And if you go back in 2012, President Obama, remember when he was on that hot mic telling President, Medvedev, that he would have more flexibility to negotiate with Putin after the elections. Now, was that treason? He was colluding with the Russians. And if Russia, led by Putin, was an enemy of the United States, according to the definition of the Constitution, then was the Obama-Hillary reset with Russia collusion and treason? Because remember, they set the reset button. So they were colluding with foreign enemies. So in that sense, even Joe Biden would be guilty because he was colluding with Ukraine. He was pressuring the Ukrainian government to fire a prosecutor, right? So if he pressured the Ukraine, then by default, he gave aid and comfort to Russia, right? Because the Ukraine and Russia are in conflict with each other. You see what I mean? It doesn't make any sense. The Democrats have lost their minds. So this accusation against Trump that he has basically conspired with Russia against Ukraine must be treason also. If you go by the reasoning of the Democrats, you know, because Ukraine is basically indistinguishable from the United States, since you can only commit treason by betraying your own country. And Nancy Pelosi, she was on CNN recently, she stated, quote, "In my view, Ukraine is very all about Russia because withholding or granting military assistance to Ukraine was all to the benefit of Russia to hold up that aid." Now, that's funny because I thought President Trump was the one who sent weapons, tanks, missiles of that nature to the Ukraine to support them against Russia. What did Obama send them? As they said, blankets and, you know, lollipops or something. I don't know. He sent them whatever. He didn't send them what they needed. He withheld aid from them. But Trump does it. He suspends aid for 90 days or 55 days, I think it was, in order to look at the new president of Ukraine and to find out if there's still corruption going on in Ukraine. And for this is the string that the Democrats are holding on to. It's ridiculous, people. No evidence of quid pro quo. They say so. There is no evidence of quid pro quo. Matter of fact, Matt Gaetz asks them in the hearing. Let me see if I can find that. May not have it. But if you listen to Matthew Gaetz, one of the representatives in the hearing, he asks him, does anybody have any knowledge of this? Nothing. They have nothing. Nothing at all. So if you think about it, there's no, even despite the fact that there's no evidence that any quid pro quo existed between Trump's request to the Ukrainian president to investigate corruption involving the Bidens, the Democrats are still moving forward with treason charges. I mean, it's insane. Trump is not Henry VIII. He's not Adolf Hitler. He's not Joseph Stalin. It's ridiculous. This is a coup attempt. And so this trickle of information that's coming down, being made public now by the Inspector General of the Justice Department, Michael Horowitz, who is an Obama holdover, is starting to give us a little glimpse into the mind of the former FBI Director James Comey, anyway, and the methods that he used to further a seditious conspiracy among the Obama administration holdovers and the deep state, basically. Now, there is a U.S. statute that states, if two or more persons in any state or territory or in any place subject to the jurisdiction of the United States conspire to overthrow, put down, or to destroy by force the government of the United States, or to levy war against them, or to oppose by force the authority thereof, or the force to prevent, hinder, or delay the execution of any law of the United States, or by force to seize, take, or possess any property of the United States contrary to the authority thereof, they shall each be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 20 years or both. And that's found on the Legal Information Institute website of Cornell Law School. And there were people that were going to say and have said, for one, Alex Jones and Tackett that comes on, I can't remember his first name. Lots of people have said this is not going to be a bombshell report, people. But it is important in unraveling the most serious of these, you know, political criminal acts, which are going on this day, to this day, in the form of a phony impeachment and all these accusations, all of these investigations to hamper the ability of the President of the United States to do his job. And so this little trickle from this report should become a deluge as the IG finishes and releases his next report outlining the abuses of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act and the court procedures used by the Obama administration, the DOJ, the FBI, which basically illegally surveilled not only the president, but American citizens through, what do they call it, uncovering, or I can't remember the term, but they wanted to undermine President Trump, their political opponent. And when that failed, then they turned around with the impeachment hearings to depose a duly elected president. And then they want to bring up Watergate. Watergate, that doesn't even match this. Nowhere near this. But you got Comey, you know, who played the angel. He just was doing his job. He's such a nice guy. The IG's investigators found a lot of egregiously dishonest actions by Comey during the period of January 2017 all the way up through April of 2017. And this period was the narrow focus of their investigation, basically. The production of memorandums, memorializing his meetings with President-elect, and then after the inauguration, meetings with the president, and then the illegal leaking of certain memos to outside persons, the illegal concealment, retention of the same, and once they discovered that at his residence, then the specious declaration that the memos were his personal property. You know, he just writes memos at home about his nefarious dealings in the FBI. His little diary. And so you have this press release of the IG's report, and it outlines the findings in greatly simplified terms, such as described in today's report, the OIG concluded that the memos were official FBI records. The OIG determined that Comey violated applicable policies and his FBI employment agreement by providing one of the unclassified memos that contained FBI information, official FBI information, including sensitive investigative information, to his friend with instructions for the friend to share the contents of the memo with a reporter. Additionally, the OIG determined that Comey, while FBI director, kept copies of the four of the seven memos in a personal safe at his home, and after his removal as FBI director, violated FBI policies and his FBI employment agreement by failing to notify the FBI that he had retained them or to seek authorization to retain them. Comey likewise violated applicable policies and his FBI employment agreement by providing copies following his removal as the FBI director of the four memos he kept in his home to three private attorneys without FBI authorization. Now, Comey also failed to fulfill his obligation to immediately alert the FBI about his disclosures to his private attorneys once he became aware that the FBI, after Comey's removal, had determined that one of the memos included several words, the names of foreign countries being discussed by the president that were classified at the confidential level. But nobody's going to jail. But yeah, you got a young Marine or a young Naval man who's a submariner. He's on a submarine. He's a sailor on a submarine, you know, years ago, who took a couple pictures of inside the submarine so he could send mom and dad, and he goes to jail for it. So this report in and of itself is useful. And you can see easily that the self-serving CYA efforts made by all these FBI and DOJ apparatchiks, if you will, in answering the questions that must have been put forth by them, by the IG's investigators. And when they were questioned, you know, all of a sudden they became pretzels, bending to try to recall who had what memo and copies when and where they put them or where they sent them or, you know, who had them to start with. But we can look at a few of the people: Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, James Rebicki, E.W. Priestap, Sally Yates, Andrew McCabe. Them and, you know, more people had their hands on copies of these memos being investigated, mostly, as it seems, by the way of figuring out ways of disseminating the self-serving opinions of James Comey found therein to others within their orbit. Because we remember that James Comey basically exonerated Hillary Clinton, even though he laid out in detail several violations that would have put anybody in prison. And he said, this is not to say that nobody else who does this wouldn't go to prison, but she's not going to prison because no reasonable attorney wants to be suicided. I mean, no reasonable attorney would pursue this. But that's basically, in a nutshell, what happened. And so, lot of these names basically will end up resurfacing as they start investigating these FISA abuse ties. And it's going to tie into President Obama and the meeting he held in January 5th of 2017 to set in motion this illegal intelligence effort to spy on and depose President Trump, to try to get dirt on him. Now, there was a report back in February 15th of 2018. It was a story by Andrew McCarthy on the National Review website. National Security Advisor Susan Rice, in her last 15 minutes in the White House, January 20th of 2017, thoughtfully memorialized the January 5th meeting by emailing herself a memo, reminding herself that along with her, the following people attended the meeting with Obama. Here's who attended: FBI Director James Comey, NSA Director Michael Rogers, CIA Director John Brennan, Director of National Intelligence James Clapper, Vice President Joe Biden, and at that time, Acting Attorney General Sally Yates. Obama at that time asked Rice, Comey, and Yates to stay after the other people was leaving, ostensibly to tell the DOJ and the FBI grandees that they were to handle this Russian collusion investigation into the Trump administration by the book, quote, unquote. And if there's been ever a more transparent example of covering your ass for the future, well, it's not been exposed yet, but this is what's going on. This is what happened. And this ties in with Telashenko and Alexandra Chalupa. And it took the acting AG, Sally Yates, less than 2 weeks to make claims that the new National Security Advisor, General Mike Flynn, was compromised by the Russians, another enemy of the Obama administration, whom they railroaded, ruined his life. And they basically based this on the fact that she had knowledge of an illegally leaked transcript of an NSA CIA phone call intercept in which Flynn, following protocol for a new administration, was speaking with Sergei Kislyak, the Russian ambassador. This, in a way, started the Russian hoax ball rolling, culminating in St. Comey, FBI James Comey, having a nightmare that he woke up at 2 in the morning with intuition to save the nation. He's got to leak the memos to New York Times and get his best friend and mentor, Robert Mueller, appointed as a special counsel so they can just finish off the president, whom they wanted removed anyway. They've railroaded so many people, Flynn, Roger Stone, Manafort, basically. Manafort was guilty of stuff, but it had nothing to do with Trump. 2010 to 2014, in Ukraine, by the way. And then 2 years later, with the August report from the Inspector General's office, we're starting to see who the real criminals are.